Turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 11. Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 11. Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 11. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation of the Bible. And it says this. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? He replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. After saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. As they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. Men of Galilee, they said, why are you standing here staring into heaven? Why are you standing here simply looking? Why are you focused on something else rather than the task at hand? Why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go. I want to encourage our hearts from this thought today. Stop watching and start witnessing. Stop watching and start witnessing. So as many of us know, today is what we call the first Sunday of Advent. That Advent, it's those 4 weeks leading up to Christmas Day. But the word Advent comes from the Latin, it's Adventus. It means coming or arrival. For us, it's a time of preparation. It's a time of personal reflection. As a church, it's a time of collective reflection as we are reminded of this Christ child, this Messiah who would show up in the world in a manger in Bethlehem. But for Christians today, we know that he was taken up and he's coming back again one day. And so we wait for his second arrival. We wait for the second advent, the coming, the arrival of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. I don't know about you, but I'm glad when I think about he's coming back one day. That it won't always be like this. Trouble won't last always. That he's coming back for you and for me. He's coming back for a church that's ready without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. That he's coming back for born again believers. So this advent becomes a season of hope. It's a season of peace and joy and love. But it's a season that's marked by watching and waiting for the coming, the second coming of Jesus Christ. But the question before us today is, what do we do in the meantime? What do we do as we're waiting for Jesus to return? I know that we work every day. I know for some of you, listen, you're large and you're in charge and life is good and you're on the mountaintop. For some of us, maybe you're not in the mountaintop. You're on the valley. Listen, your change is strange. Your money might be funny. You may be somewhere in between. Maybe you're looking for a job. You're looking for this or that. But in all of the stuff that we're doing and all of this life that we're living, what's the main thing that we should be doing as God's people? And I'm glad you want to know. What should we be doing in the meantime? Have you ever watched something so intensely, so focused on something so intensely, that you forget that you're supposed to be doing something else? I don't know, maybe nobody in here, look at me, don't look around. I wonder how many people do we have in the house today, though, that might, we find ourselves texting on our cell phones when we should be driving our car. Don't look at me. Don't look around. You, so y'all know what I'm talking about. Like that cell, that text message cannot wait until you pull over off the side of the road where it's safe. You're driving a 2,000 plus pound vehicle, but you're texting. You're not focused on the road, the matter in front of you. How many of us watch television? That we watch the game. that we watched the Dallas Cowboys win. That perhaps we're watching one of our favorite drama shows on television, game shows, but we know we're supposed to be doing something else. That maybe we need to be doing a household chore, maybe cutting the grass, but we're so focused on this one thing that we forget something that may be more important in the moment. Maybe in those moments you should be engaged in conversation with your spouse that he or she didn't want to talk to you. But they can't talk to you because you're so engrossed in the game on the television. But you should be focused on your spouse, the matter at hand. I wonder how many of us, maybe we're on our cell phones or on a computer, and we're supposed to be cooking, y'all. True story. Just a couple of years ago or so, yours truly trying to get on this health kick. You're trying to lose a few pounds. And so, y'all, I'm eating the oatmeal. I'm doing good, and I'm doing the right things. And they say, boiled eggs are good for you. And I like boiled eggs. I don't really like them scrambled, but boiled eggs, I like some more boiled eggs. So I put some eggs on the boil. Light the fire, turn them on, walk away out of the kitchen, y'all. I mean, I'm thinking the eggs don't need me. They can boil by themselves. I don't need to be in the kitchen with the eggs. And so I go into my office just down the hallway, and I sit down and I get engrossed in the computer. I forget what I was looking at, y'all, but I'm just stuck there. I'm stuck staring in the computer, and all of a sudden I hear this pow. I'm going, somebody shooting? Do I need a duck? What's going on? Am I back in Memphis, Tennessee? What's going on here? Y'all, I get up and I got the eggs on the boil. I don't know how much time has passed, but it's too late, y'all. That all of the water has boiled out of the pot. The pot is about to catch fire. Y'all, it's burning. The eggs have exploded. Egg is everywhere. Can you imagine the smell of burnt eggs just everywhere in the house? And so I still remember, it was a gracious moment because I thought my wife would get upset that she would go off, but she graciously went in and just kind of helped me clean up. And so, but here's the point. I'm not focused on the task at hand. I'm totally engrossed and focused on something else that's less important. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, the disciples find themselves in a similar situation. That Jesus has just ascended into heaven. Think about that for a moment. It's an astonishing moment. that have you ever seen anybody levitate? Their feet actually leave the earth and they go into the sky and they keep going up into the sky. It was a momentous moment. It was a great moment as they looked into the sky, as they stared into the heaven. Can you imagine the disciples in that moment? I mean, heads just look back and they're looking, they're staring. Look at Jesus. Go, Jesus, look. Jesus. You know, and so we think about gravity. What comes up must come down. But they just keep looking. Is he coming back? They're just staring, eyes open, mouths open. They're amazed. But they keep on staring. And they keep on staring. They keep on staring. I wonder if in a moment maybe they thought, well, should we build a monument here? But they keep on staring. Maybe we should build a church right here and we don't move this spot. Because there was no movement, just staring. There was no momentum. They were just staring. There was no mission happening. They were just staring. They were stuck in a trance, y'all, just staring into space. And all of a sudden, these two angels show up and they start to say to them, why are you just standing here? Jesus told you what to do now. He's telling you what you need to do next. I really believe this, that this message is not just to these disciples of old, these apostles of old, but this message is for the church today. That this message is for disciples today. Because understand something, you weren't saved to be a spectator. You were saved to be sent. That you were saved to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Yeah, yeah, yeah. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yeah. I'm not ashamed to tell it wherever I go. That I am not ashamed. You weren't saved to be a spectator. You were saved to be sent. So the time is out for us just to be watching. Just to be looking around. It's time for us to witness, church. So I want us to look at three realities based on our text today that can help us to move from simply standing still to stepping out. So, like the apostles, y'all, this first reality, don't just watch the kingdom, understand the mission. Don't just watch the kingdom, understand the mission. Look at verses 6 and 7 again. So when the apostles were with Jesus, They kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? Yeah, I love the way he said, Jesus, you free Israel. This is our kingdom. He replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know, but you will receive power. Verse 8, let's stop right there. Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? That at that moment, they were thinking that, hey, at any moment, Jesus would rise up, that he'd get his great horse and his army together, and they would conquer the then-known Roman Empire. At that time, Israel was an oppression to the Romans. And so they're thinking, it's time now. It's time for us to rise up. It's time to go get them. It's time to be back in power again, Jesus. And so they're asking about timelines. They're asking about strategies and plans. But these were earthly strategies and earthly plans. And Jesus had something different in mind. That he had a different kingdom in mind. And can I parenthetically say this for a minute? That I think if we're not careful, in the day, in the age in which we live as believers, that if we're not careful in our political mindset and movements, we'll become focused on the wrong kingdom. That we're not focused on the kingdom of this world, but we're focused on God's kingdom. Yeah. We're focused on another kingdom, y'all.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so if we're not careful, we can find ourselves like the disciples in. We're trying to kingdom watch and kingdom build here on earth. We're trying to build our nice, beautiful, comfortable churches. We're trying to build our programs that can keep us inside the walls of the church. We're trying to build things that make us feel good. We're trying to build our cafes. We're trying to build our bookstores. We're trying to build this stuff for us. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with any of that stuff. But that is not our primary focus as the church of the living God.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily on what we do on the inside of the church, but we have to go outside of the church as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if we are not careful, rather than kingdom building, true kingdom building, the kingdom of God, which is the rule over every area of our lives, listen, we'll start looking at the kingdoms of this world,
yeah,
and we'll start empire building. Not kingdom building, but empire, my stuff, my church, and me, rather than what does God want us to do? What does he require of us? So Jesus redirects them in the text. He replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times. They're not for you to know. In the words of my grandmother from the South, she would tell you, the Father said, none ya. None ya means none of your business. That's not your business to know the dates or the times or God's plan, but God has something else in store for you. That God, listen, we have to stop chasing calendars and start following Christ. Stop chasing our own agendas and start following Christ. Psalm 13, one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. Psalm 13 is the Psalm of David. And David is asking in this psalm, he's saying, God, how long? God, how long will you forget about me? Will it be forever? How long must I struggle? How long must I stay in my sorrows? How long will my enemies have rule over me? How long, oh God? God, I want you to answer me. Well, David was bold. You read Psalm 13, God, answer me, God. God didn't strike him dead. But David stops in that psalm. In reflection, he remembers that David moves from how long to a hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yeah, yeah.
That he says, God, I will trust in your unfailing love. God, I will rejoice in you because you rescue me.
Yeah.
That God, I will sing a song to you because God, you are good to me. David moves from a how long to a hallelujah. And if we're going to live for God, no matter what we're dealing with in our life, we need to learn to do that. Because we can get so focused on what's going on in our lives right here, and now we're in the muddy grubs, y'all. How long? How long? But move from a how long to a hallelujah.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
don't just watch the kingdom. Understand the mission. They're asking again, Lord, when will you fix everything? When, Lord? What's the date on the calendar? When are we going to show up? When are we going to rise up? When are we going to be in power? But Jesus points to to what they're supposed to be doing. And what they're supposed to be doing is what we're supposed to be doing as well. Look, they're looking for timetables, but they need to be about assignment. See, God doesn't satisfy our curiosity. God is concerned about your questions and you'll go, well, what about this? But he's concerned that he ignites our calling. He's concerned about your purpose and your calling and your mission. We're stuck on questions and whys and hows. But he's concerned about what we should be doing in the moment. That we should understand the mission that Jesus puts us on. Don't you find it ironic that Jesus is ascending into heaven, and before he does that, he tells them what's really important to him in the moment. But he's telling us today what's important to him in the moment, that we be witnesses for Jesus. So if we're not careful, like these disciples, we can waste time, y'all, just staring into the sky. Just dur-dur-dur-dur, just wondering, what am I going to do now? That we can get stuck and so focused on our lives and our stuff and our issues that we waste time. That we're waiting for God to move in our lives. But guess what? He's waiting for you to move. He's waiting for you to do something. So if we're going to step out rather than stand still, we also need to know this. Don't just watch for power. Receive. Don't just watch for power. Receive the Spirit. Look at verse 8. Look at verse 8. Now, we know this verse well. We quote this verse all the time. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. But you shall receive power. We know that scripture well. But don't just watch for the power. Receive the Spirit. That's what I believe about these disciples at the moment. When he was talking about power, Jesus was talking about power. They're thinking about the power to rise up, the power to conquer the Romans, the power to be the people that God called them to be. That they were looking for something to come in the natural, power in the natural. But Jesus redirects them. He's talking about spiritual power. He's talking about Holy Spirit power, which is something good for us to know. Because if we are going to witness for Jesus, we'll talk about that in a minute, what witness means, listen, we need his power. That you cannot preach without his power. That you cannot adequately serve without his power. That you cannot witness without his power. We need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives today. Jesus is not talking about just receiving some information, some instruction, be inspired. Not worldly power, but Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost power. What the church needs today is Holy Ghost power to move and act in the way he wants us to move and act. So this word power, it comes from a word, y'all, which means it's dunamis. And really, it's miraculous power or strength. It's divine power and strength that only comes by way of the Holy Spirit. When we talk about this word witness, but you shall be, you're going to be witnesses. The word witness is martus in the Greek. That in our English word, it means martyr. And most of us know if you are a martyr that you die, you're willing to die for your testimony. Yeah. You're willing to die for what you believe. And you better believe that the apostles did just that. They died for what they believed. Y'all, if we today could just give up our own selfish desires, that it not just be about me and what I want and what I feel. But if we could be the kind of witnesses that Jesus is talking about in the text today, how the church could explode like it did in the early church. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says this, "For God did not give us the spirit of fear or timidity, but of power and love and a sound mind or self-discipline." You know, the love translation of that is, don't be scared. Don't be scared. Don't be afraid. That the Holy Spirit fills you. That he gives you courage and boldness and strength to do what God wants you to do. The Holy Spirit doesn't make us better watchers. He makes us bolder witnesses for Jesus Christ. That's what happened to the apostles. That's what happened to the disciples. Y'all know their story after Jesus was crucified? What did they do? They rose to the occasion. They were ready. No, they didn't. They were hiding out. John chapter 20, they were hiding out in the house. Jesus had to show up and blow on them and give them his spirit. But they were distressed. They were discouraged. They were depressed because Jesus was gone. But all of a sudden, Jesus shows up in their lives again. It says many times, and then he speaks to them, listen, listen, this is what you're supposed to be doing now. And the Holy Spirit fills them eventually with his power, y'all, and they're witnesses.
Yeah.
You start going through the book of Acts, y'all, they're witnessing hard, y'all. They're going hard for Jesus. The theme and the momentum of the book of Acts you always find in the church grew. And believers were added to the church. And the church grew. And the church grew. And believers were added to the church. That's because, y'all, they were bold, y'all. They were brave. They were spirit-filled. Something happens when the Holy Spirit fills you that you can't hold your peace. That when the Spirit fills you, you got to tell somebody about Jesus. That you got to tell somebody your testimony. You got to tell somebody that Jesus is alive, that Jesus is real. Has the Holy Spirit filled you lately? Or are you just full of you and your stuff and your wants and your needs? Don't just watch for power and earthly power and earthly things, but receive the Spirit of the God. And you receive that Spirit once he saves you. Do you not know that the Spirit of the living God lives on the inside of you? You got power harnessed on the inside of you. You got courage harnessed on the inside, boldness harnessed on the inside of you. So whether people want to hear it or not, you'll tell people about the goodness of Jesus. So finally, if we're going to step out rather than sit down and do nothing, listen, know this. Don't just watch the sky. We got to go and witness. That's what the angels are saying to the disciples. After saying this, he was taken up into a cloud. While they were watching, they could no longer see him. As they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. Men of Galilee, why are you just standing here staring into the sky? Why are you just standing here twiddling your thumbs? Why are you just focused on whatever, whatever? That Jesus has told us what to do next. And what to do next is to be a witness for him. So stop gazing and start going. Stop watching and start witnessing. Sometimes we think the ascension of Jesus was the end of his mission, that it was all over. But do you not know that the ascension was not the end of Jesus' mission? But guess what? It was the beginning of our mission. That's what the text is telling us. That he rose, but we're supposed to go out. Jesus went out so the gospel, Jesus went up so the gospel would go out. But the way the gospel goes out is through you and for me. We're waiting for Jesus to return. Yes, we are. But what are we doing in the meantime? And we see in the text that Jesus gives them a geographical plan. He says, listen, go to Jerusalem. Go, that's where they were. Go right where you are. Go to your children. Go to your relatives. Go to the people in your household. Go to the people next door. How many of y'all even know your next door neighbor's names? Don't read you. I don't want to. Some do, so they're proud of it. They're proud of it. But let's be honest. The truth is, some of us don't even know our next door neighbor's name. Been living there with them for 5, 10, 15. What's, I don't know. You never went to introduce yourself? Bring them some cookies or a basket or something and let them know that Jesus loves them. And say, can I tell you about Jesus? Oh, it's quiet in here today. It's quiet. Go to right where you are. Go to the people on your job. Judea, those close by. Go to other neighborhoods. Go to those that are close by you. And then go to Samaria. Y'all know that the Jews didn't. They didn't get along with the Samaritans. Go to Samaria. Go to those that you might want to avoid. Go to those that you'd rather look over because they don't look like you. Go to those that, listen, you might say, I really don't care. You don't even know I don't care for it. I don't even know you. That go to your Samaria. Then go to the ends of the earth. Go everywhere and tell people about Jesus. Yeah, this is the movement of the gospel, that it goes outward, it expands, and it expands, and it grows, and it grows, that it's unstoppable. So we have to understand that local obedience, y'all, that it really results in global impact. If I'll tell people about Jesus right where I am, tell my family, tell my next door neighbors, tell people on the job, tell people in the Walmart. We got a Walmart ministry in this church. Tell the people in the HEB. We got an HEB ministry. That's a good strategy, y'all. Just walk around HEB with a cart, just like you're shopping for something. You really don't want anything. You know, pick up your box of cereal or something, or pick up some eggs, you know, and just walk around, y'all. And it's amazing. You start running into people and start talking. Hey, how you doing today? And God will show you, that's the one right there. That's the one. That's the one. Start talking to them. Start telling them about me. And if you got one of your tracks, pull out one of your tracks. Can I just talk to you for 3 minutes? Can I tell you something about Jesus? Hand them the track, pray with them, and go on your way. Let God do the rest. But that's local obedience. That right where I am, I'm willing to tell somebody about you. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't just watch. Stop watching the sky and go and witness. I'm not trying to hit anybody. I ain't judging nobody. I ain't trying to miss you either, though. Because many Christians are still just standing still. Right, right. Their heads are raised to the sky. Dirty, 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 dirty. That a lot of folk are just focused on their issues and their stuff and their needs and their church and their this and their this and that, and not sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel message moves faster through willing feet. Can I ask you this morning, are your feet willing to go? Are you willing to open up your mouth and tell somebody about Jesus? The world needs more believers stepping into their calling, stepping into their purpose, and telling people about Jesus. I remember years ago, y'all, years ago, when we started the ministry, we went out into the neighborhoods near the church. And we would hang these door hangers on the doors of hundreds of people in a particular, we find a community, and y'all, and we would hang door hangers on those doors. But there were just certain members in the church that were doing that. Look at me, don't look around. Then we go out on some hot summer days, y'all. It was hot out there, just sweating. It was just hot. But we're still hanging door hangers. If we see people standing in the yard, y'all, they're watering their grass. Hey, how you doing? Can I talk to you for a minute? But there were only certain members of the church, I noticed, only certain members that went out. I remember asking a member or two, you know, why don't you go out with them? Well, that's not for me. That's not my calling. That's not my purpose. I leave that up to y'all. That's for you. Pastor, that's something the pastor should do. That's something that preachers should do, church leaders should do. No, it's for everybody. It's for you. It's for you. And for you, it's for all of us. He called all of us to be witnesses. For those folk that still believe, that's not for me. I told folks this morning, there's a guy in the movie Next Friday. His name is Pinky. And Pinky has some favorite words. He just tell people, shut up. Shut up. If you think it's not for you, I don't mean to be mean or rude, but you need to shut up and let the word of God speak to you and to speak to your heart. Yeah. The time is out for armchair quarterbacks when it comes to sharing the gospel. The time is out for do-nothing disciples. I believe if we really want to see every seat filled in this church, that we all have to take the responsibility and say, the seats next to me, it's my responsibility to go out and tell somebody so that God's house may be full. That's what he wants. He wants his house to be full of people that name the name of Jesus, people that believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and people that are willing to go. So in this moment, listen, there's a chair next to you. Maybe you ought to pray the prayer, God, Lord, help me to be the person that leads somebody to you so that they're filling the chair next to me. The world needs more believers stepping into their calling, doing what God has called them to do. Don't just watch, y'all, that we have to witness. The disciples, they needed, y'all, they needed a nudge. They need a heavenly, and we do too. We need a nudge. Because sometimes we get in our comfortable zone, y'all. Sometimes we stop looking at people around us as opportunities to present the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we can drift. You know, we can start watching. We can get comfortable. that we watch other people serve. We watch other people walk in their calling. We watch other people witness. We watch other people do this and that, but we won't do anything. I found out that witnessing can change the world. It can turn the world upside down. It did it in the day of the disciples and the apostles. And I think it's the sharing of the gospel that can do it even now. So here's the bottom line. Know this, the church grows when watchers become witnesses. The church grows when watchers become witnesses. And know this, that Jesus ascended so we could be sent. That you weren't saved to be a spectator, you were saved to be sent out, to be a witness for Jesus. And if you're here today, and if you're breathing, if you're here today and you're not breathing, you don't hear me, there's a special place for you, it's not here. But if you're here today and you're breathing, you were called to be a witness. You were called to be a witness. So some take-home questions. Let's make this practical today. What can we do with this lesson that we've heard today? Ask yourself this question. Where am I just watching instead of witnessing? Where am I just watching? Where am I just watching people live the life they want to live? Where am I watching family members do what they want to do? And I won't open my mouth to at least say something. I'm not judging. People, you judge. I'm not judging you. I don't want you to stand before God in the great day of judgment and he condemn you and send you to hell. So I got to tell you now. So where am I just watching instead of witnessing? Where is God calling me to step out? Are you bold enough to step out in faith? Are you bold enough to step out under the unction and power of the Holy Spirit and witness for him? And then ask ourselves, who is my Jerusalem? Who's my Judea? Who's my Samaria? Because it's time for us to stop shifting our eyes up into the sky and staring and wondering and get our feet to moving. So, to close out today, I still like to eat boiled eggs today. I have a good memory, but sometimes my memory is short. It's a good memory, though. My memory's long, but sometimes, y'all, it's short. So, now I use this device in my house, in the kitchen, in our home. It's a box that sits on the counter that we affectionately call her Alexa. Some of y'all know Alexa, don't you? Created by Amazon, it's that virtual assistant. Just give it a voice command and it'll tell you certain things. That you can talk to Alexa, y'all, and it'll tell you, listen, Alexa, turn the temperature down in the house, and shoop, it'll turn the temperature down in the house. Alexa, turn the lights off. Shoot, I love it. Alexa, raise the blinds. The blinds go up in the house. Alexa, put on some slow music for me. Put on some smooth jazz so I can light some candles. Come on. And Alexa will put it on. Alexa, this is how I use Alexa. It's important to me. But I give Alexa the voice command. Alexa, put a timer on me for 10 minutes. And a setting timer for 10 minutes. And the clock begins to count down. So I don't have to stand in the kitchen and watch over the egg. I know a timer is set. And that when the timer goes off, that alarm goes off, that loud, I know it's time to get up and go and check on that pot of boiled eggs before they burn up. What am I saying to us today? That the Almighty God has already set a timer. And the issue is, we don't know when the timer will go off. It's for him to know and not for us to know. But right now, it's on the burner. One day he's coming back for the church. We don't know when it's going to be, but he's coming back. He's coming back for us. And Revelation chapter 6, verse 17 says this, that day will be the great day of their wrath. It's the day that he will pour out his boiling wrath upon people on the earth at the time. And the text goes on to ask, who will be able to survive? Who will be able to stand? Let me answer that question for you if you don't know. Only those who have a relationship a real relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So the gospel is good news only if it gets out in time. And so as we're waiting for him to return, we're waiting for the second advent. What are we willing to do in this moment? Jesus is coming back one day, y'all. Do you believe that? He's coming back one day. But there are people that are lost, people that don't have a relationship with Jesus, people that need to hear the gospel. That the timer will go off. The Father will speak to the Son. The Son will go. He will come. He will arrive. But he's arriving for a people that have heard the gospel. The gospel is only good news if it gets out on time. So maybe he's speaking to you and to me. It's in our hands in this moment. Will the gospel get out? Or will it stay shut up? Maybe the Lord is asking you and me in this moment, will you be a witness for me? He's asking, can I get a witness?
Yeah.
Can I get a witness for my son? Can I get a witness to tell somebody what he's done for you? Can he get a witness today? Can he get a witness in this moment? Or will we all just sit around and stare and gaze and watch people suffer God's boiling wrath for them to eventually burn up? What will you do? Pray with me. Father, we thank you for your word today. As we celebrate this first Sunday of Advent, as we wait, Jesus, for your second coming, for your arrival, we wait with expectation, we wait in anticipation, that we can hardly wait for that day to come. But in the meantime, you called us to do something. You commanded us to do something. Just like the first disciples, those apostles, you called them to be witnesses. You called us to be witnesses. And we don't have to do it alone. We would do it under the power of your Holy Ghost, your Holy Spirit. So allow Holy Spirit rise up on the inside of us that we may sense your presence and be filled with courage and excitement to be able to share the gospel with someone else. Because, Father, you did not save us to simply be spectators. You saved us to send us out. And God, your command, your calling is our desire. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And Father, ask right now by your Spirit that you speak to hearts right now for people that don't know you, that are not in a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That God sent his Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but the world through Jesus might be saved. Father, speak to a heart right now that's not in a saving relationship. Speak to a heart right now to that person that might be saved, but they're not connected to some local fellowship where they can serve with other believers, worship with other believers, pray with other believers. God, go out and witness with other believers. Holy Spirit, do what only you can do in this moment. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So our ushers are standing in the aisles right now. Their hands are extended. If you are here today and you're not in a saving relationship with Jesus, you need to be in a saving relationship. How do you do that? The Bible makes it plain. It makes it simple. It makes it clear that you must hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is the gospel of Jesus Christ? That God simply sent his Son into the world. That the Son lived, he breathed, he walked here on earth. He healed the sick, he raised the dead. But one day he died at the hands of those who hated him, but he did not stay dead. That 3 days later, he rose with all power. And that power is the power to save. And whosoever shall call upon the name of Jesus shall be saved. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. That settles it, that saves you. Does it mean that, hey, listen, everything looks hunky-dory, all of my struggles are over? No, that doesn't mean that. But it means that you're saved, and then you go through this process of sanctification and growing to look more like Jesus. But it starts with a relationship with Jesus. So we invite you right now. Hands are extended by ushers. You can follow them to room number one across the hallway. You'll find one of our new member ministry advisors. They'll sit down with you, answer any questions you might have, and we'll welcome you with open arms. If you're here today, you already have a saving relationship with Jesus, but you're simply not connected to a local church somewhere, we invite you to come today as well. Just get up from where you are in this moment, cross the hallway, meet with one of our new member ministry advisors.
Singer.
Yes.
My Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God.
Come on, sing it if you know it. My Savior.
My Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail.
He'll never fail. He's able to save to the utmost all that come to him. Won't you come right now? Hands are extended. Won't you come right now? Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow is not promised. All you really have is right here and right now. Won't you come right now?
Sought the Lord, and he answered. That's why I,
yeah, yeah.
I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered.
Come on.
And he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust in God.
The opportunity is still before you. Won't you come right now? If you decide after the worship experience that you want to meet with one of our new member ministry advisors, you can do that. Simply go across the hallway. They will be there to meet with you. They will gather information and welcome you with open arms. And the church said, amen and amen. Come on, can we give God praise in the house today?
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1111 Tally Road in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for Sunday worship service at 9 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, where we're connecting real life to a real faith.